Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. This morning we have two scripture readings. The first is from 1 Peter. The second will be from the book of Acts. I'll be reading from 1 Peter from the first chapter. Make sure I have this right. 3 through 9, is that correct? Okay. Hear now these words. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith, for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Thus ends our first reading. Our second reading comes to us from the book of Acts, from the second chapter. Selected verses. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know. This man, handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me. For he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on his throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Please pray with me. Gracious and holy God, thank you for this Easter story. Every Sunday is Easter to us. For we live post-resurrection. Today we come to hear your word speak to us again. And so, Holy Spirit, fall fresh upon us. Open our hearts and our ears and our minds to hear what you would have us hear this day. May the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So typically on the post-resurrection or the Sunday after Easter, we hear of the stories of Jesus appearing to his disciples following his resurrection. Now, let's put this into context because if you remember, yes, Jesus died on the cross and was taken and was laid in a very fresh tomb, only to have it discovered the next or the third day that the tomb was in fact empty. And there was this wonderment of where did Jesus go? What did they do with his body? And we hear the story of Jesus and Mary interaction in the garden and her mistaking him for the gardener and him just simply calling her name, and then she recognizes him. That Jesus appears to Mary, but not only that, but Jesus goes and appears to the disciples behind locked doors. For the very room that they celebrated the Passover feast in the upper room, the disciples had gathered in fear and in their grief and in their loss. And what does Jesus do? Jesus appears to them and says, "Peace be with you." And he breathes on them, that they may receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And again, he says, "Peace be with you." And then we hear the story of Thomas. How do we remember Thomas? He is what? Doubting Thomas, because he comes into the group, like he missed that whole interaction, first interaction with Jesus, right? And he shows up and they're like, "Oh, you're not going to believe it. Jesus came in, showed up." And he's like, "Well, I will not believe it until I see him with my own eyes and touch the wounds upon his body. Only then will I believe." So a week later, Jesus appears to the disciples again in the upper room behind locked doors and says, "Peace be with you." And then he turns to Thomas and says, "Come and see." Meeting Thomas exactly where he is and allowing Thomas to touch the wounds, and Thomas comes to believe. And as I reflected on this, and particularly as we read Acts and as we read 1 Peter, we know that Peter is the one who denied Jesus three times leading up to his death. And yet Peter becomes the rock, the foundation upon which the church is going to be built. And he is attentive to speaking to those in Jerusalem. And that is what we hear in his speech in the beginning of Acts. That he is preaching to those who are around to remind them of who Jesus was. That he was the Son of God, and that it is the salvation and being resurrected from the dead, that is the gift that God offers to all of us through Jesus. So we see in Jesus appearing behind those locked doors in the upper room that one, Jesus is alive. Jesus lives and appears to Mary and the disciples and with those gentlemen walking on the way to Emmaus. That Jesus truly lives and has conquered death. Where is thy sting? So we know that Jesus lives, and offers us the gift of salvation. And that fundamentally changes who we are. Because of who Jesus is. As I thought about this and reflected on the folks behind those locked doors, it made me think a lot about grief, about when we lose someone that we love, or a situation, or a job, or there is something that shifts how we knew life to be to something that we did not anticipate and don't know what to do with. And I remembered, I always forget the first stage of grief. Always. The first stage of grief is shock. I imagine that those disciples were shocked about the experiences that they had lived through. That I imagine that Thomas was in shock with what he had lived through. And then as you kind of get past your shock, then you start getting into the other spaces, denial. It could never have happened. That didn't happen, right? Thomas was showing that. I don't believe that Jesus showed here until I get to see him for myself. Denial. And then anger. Very much angry that the person that you had come to depend upon no longer is there, or the situation no longer exists. And bartering. Well, if I had just done this, or if I hadn't done that. Well, if I give my life over, maybe the circumstances will be different. We begin to barter and be like, God, if you see me through this, I promise I will never do this again. How many of you have said things like that? If you just see me through, I promise, God, I will dedicate my life to you. And then we finally get to a place of acceptance. That whatever that circumstance was that caused us such trauma, we begin to accept. That we begin to live into this new normal. Not the normal we would have chosen, but a different normal. And the different normal that Peter is calling us into is a normal of joy, of rejoicing. And that's really hard for us to do when we're in the midst of our trials. That it's really hard to get to that place of acceptance and saying it with joy, because when we're in the mires of all of that, it doesn't feel good. And even in our not feeling good, here's one thing I know. God is always with you. The presence of God is with you through the power of the Holy Spirit and because Jesus lives. That gift of salvation is what sets you all apart, that frees you to a place of acceptance. And joy and a way of life. That we are called to live as Jesus lived, that we are called to love as Jesus loved, that we are called into this promise of salvation, that we are different now. That's the meaning of Easter. That is the power of the resurrection. And that means that we are called to live life as Easter people. To love God and to love our neighbors. Even the ones who live next door to the ones that live all the way in Zimbabwe that we have not even met. Because here's something so cool about all of that. All of them and us are beloved children of God. That we are all part of God's family. That we are all part of this inheritance that Jesus promised. All of us. And it is God's grace that binds us together. Because Jesus lives, we too can live. So I want to give Thomas a different name. Can we not call him Doubting Thomas anymore? Can we call him Being Sanctified Thomas? Grieving Thomas? Because in his doubting. It wasn't lack of faith. It was God's grace that was working in and through it, that was bringing him to more completion and understanding and the revelation of who God is through Jesus. It's a process that we all embark on. And thanks be to God that there is enough grace to go around to help us all. And we see that. And we live it. Why? Because Jesus lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.